Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 1st of April, recording at 9:29 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights for the week, as this is the big picture long-term outlook for the various asset classes. And over the last week, stock markets, well, it's been another good one. Second consecutive week of quite strong gains. That included today another good week for Asia. Thailand actually moved to a new high in Asia. The H share, Chinese H share index, is pushing up through through some resistance nicely. Generally, just very steady. These stock markets that had gone through their mean reversion process have rallied up off those potential support levels quite convincingly. Okay, and Europe, again, strong gains, and that includes today, where the DAX index is up nearly 2%, UK FTSE 100 index up 1.71%, that's taken it back above 6,000 to 6,010, nearly. And Wall Street, gains faded a little bit, but the S&P was still up 6.5 to 1332.41. Slightly better, slightly easier performance. Well, sorry, the NASDAQ composite was up, but not quite so much as the S&P, which was up 0.5%. And Brazil, up a point. It's been quite firm recently, and pushing through some resistance, albeit still within its broad trading range, but definitely an improvement. Long-dated government bond prices, mostly a bit easier, but not much action there overall. And the US dollar, soft, generally. You know, as I speak, we've got the dollar had rallied actually today, but it soon gave it up, and we've got, for instance, the Australian dollar up at 103.88. We've got the euro back up to 142.23. Sterling, which is not exactly strong, but up 161. Just over 161. But the real story of the week here has been the weakness of the yen. Following the earlier intervention, it's been hit last week. It's just been hit just about every single day. And today is no exception. The US dollar, for instance, is up to 84.06 as I speak. And it had been higher. It had been up as high as 84.73 before sliding. Australian dollar, of course, has just soared against the yen. So real weakness there in the Japanese currency. Now, in commodity markets, gold, the precious metal sector, I should say, has been generally steady, led by silver. As the dollar rallied a bit this morning, we had a shakeout in metals, but then they closed on the higher side of their ranges, although still down a little bit on the day in the case of gold, 14.29.30. But silver is down a little bit on the day, but it's still 37.77. Good action. Platinum 14 lower here, but it's 17.69, still up on the week. And crude oil, this has been very steady, pushing higher here. We have a WTI. That's a new recovery high, 108.16. And I just want to look at the Brent. Can you hear the siren? I don't think they're coming for me. Brent, it's very strong, 118.93. And actually, that's a new closing high, although back at the end of February, it had an intraday high, slightly higher, just under 120. So, energy costs higher, and natural gas, though, not doing a great deal, so it's petroleum contracts, really. In soft commodities, The big story was came with yesterday's announcement on corn mainly, which caused a limit up move, and it was strong again here today, although we had a little bit of easing in the rest of the grain and bean complex. And that's really the main activity here overall. Okay, so what's going on? Well, stock markets say have really been on a roll over the last 2 weeks. That's quite impressive because we were in a choppy overall phase, which saw some mean reversion by the U.S. markets. That had occurred earlier on, as you know, with the Asian markets. And really, we have picture book so far, at any rate, we have picture book confirmation or reconfirmation of the overall upward trends, because as you may well recall, that a number of those stock markets became quite overextended relative to their rising 200-day moving averages, which represent the trend mean, back in November. And then they ranged and lost upside momentum and then pulled back, tested those MAs last month or in some instances earlier this month, and they bounced well off those levels, and most of them are within striking distance of the highs. That includes South Korea, which is testing its high, and I already mentioned in the review that Thailand had pushed through to a new high. So impressive action. One of the things that interests me the most is, you know, how many bearish articles circulating on China, particularly in the West. Well, I think there's a little bit of hysteria in all that, and coupled with fear of China overall. But it's worth having a look at the Hong Kong Hang Seng. It's a bigger part in by all means, look at the Hong Kong Hang Seng Index. But the lead one at the moment here, among the ones that Westerners buy, is the Hong Kong Hang Seng H Share Index. H Share Index. And that is sort of leading to the upside here. It's still within a very broad trading range, but it looks to me as if this is completing a very lengthy consolidation and is going to be breaking to the upside before long. And we could get a good move overall. Ditto on the Hong Kong Hang Seng Index, pushing back up towards some lateral resistance up near 25,000. It's currently at 23,800. And above that 25,000 level, it may well hit an air pocket and could run, in my view. And the A shares also show that potential. Now, that would be very interesting because a positive leash effect from Asia would really get those Asian markets rolling. But the lead that we're getting from the ASEAN sector suggests that it's going to happen. We may see a little bit of a pause here near the highs. That wouldn't be surprising because the gains have been quite steady. We have a little bit overbought condition, short term, very short term overbought condition, but we are not overextended relative to the MAs. That's the important point. So these are just healthy looking trends. And I was saying last week and week before we were in a choppy, sorry, go back a couple of weeks, saying we were in a choppy environment overall. I thought Asia, I've been saying for several months that I thought Asia would lead the way back up when markets eventually turn stronger. And they have, but Europe and Wall Street have packed in quite well also. And so why might that be when markets were worried about the Middle East and markets were worried about the Japanese situation? and they were worried about some of the inflationary pressures. Well, my main answer to that is that the crises, okay, Japan natural or act of nature tragedy, there the I certainly think that the Fukushima situation is still a concern, but markets are looking beyond that now, it seems, and there has been a further liquidity infusion. We still have negative real interest rates, in other words, below the price of inflation everywhere except Japan, which is still experiencing some deflation. Their rate, interest rate is near zero, of course. And we still have the Fed's QE. We're certainly getting a massive liquidity infusion coming from Japan. And a lot of that's flowing into equities. Money's been coming out of bond funds, particularly in the USA. And that's the driver here behind equities. My concern at the moment is that these rallies are a little bit overextended. I don't think that will disrupt. I'm sorry, I don't think that will break the cyclical bull markets. It might cause a little bit of choppy activity near the highs. We still could see some additional mean reversion, particularly if the oil price pushes higher. And as I look at those charts, they are indicating to me that oil prices will go higher. So, you go back to the end of February, we had a spike upwards on the Middle East uprisings. And prices fell back fairly sharply. The spike upwards was a little bit climactic, and as described at the time, that was looked like a peak of at least short-term duration, and it was. But I don't think it's a peak of any more than short-term duration. It does look to me as if the crude charts are going higher. That means that the heating oil and the gasoline prices will also be moving higher. And I think stock markets may catch a little bit of vertigo against that background this month. So we want to watch out for that. I wouldn't bid equities up too much. Actually, I myself have opened a few hedge shorts in the S&P. It's not a big position, but I wanted a little bit of a hedge on there against a possible pullback in some of these stock markets. And then the corn story. If it's just corn on its own, it won't matter all that much if the other grains and beans move up in sympathy, which they certainly did yesterday, but not today. Then that would be a bigger concern overall. Now, in terms of different themes, mining shares are really doing quite well here overall. The one exception being the uranium miners. The uranium miners look short-term oversold to me, so I wouldn't be at all surprised to see a bit of a bounce. I've got an email talking about some insider buying occurring in those. From by the management teams among those shares, which is interesting and not surprising. But I think that we're unlikely to get a big recovery in the uraniums anytime soon. I mean, I'm resigned to holding on to my positions overall. Stuff happens, and although it was a known risk, which I had mentioned that my big fear was that we'd get some sort of leakage problem at one or more of the old reactors, and well, my goodness, we've had certainly had that with the Fukushima incident. But I think common sense will prevail in, well, I think it's, I'll put it that way. Hope that doesn't sound too provocative, but I think that people who think that countries can replace the amount of electricity that they currently get from nuclear easily. I think worldwide it's about 14%, but in the developed countries it's higher. You're not going to replace that with windmills or solar very easily. So do you really want to replace it with fossil fuels? That's the big question overall. And I think people have way overhyped the risk on nuclear. But I don't want to digress too much. My point was that I think this is very much a lengthy medium-term setback for the sector. The shares look a little oversold in the short term. They may pick up on this general interest in mining. The sector in mining, which I have three of these in my portfolio, but they're not big positions, unfortunately. But the sector that looks to me like it could romp to the upside again is the rare earths miners. I have Lynas, I have Avalon, I have Quest, but pick your rare earth miner. Owen's reviewed them all on a number of occasions. They look poised to run again, and I think that nuclear mining's misfortune has increased interest in the rare earth sector. Now, all of these are speculative. If they weren't speculative, I would have switched out of my big blue chip mines, such as BHP and Rio and the BlackRock World Mining Trust. All three of those are doing very well. Incidentally, they had their medium term. So sorry, their they had they had corrections, medium term corrections to their MAs. They're picking up again. And are really quite steady. I think they'll push through, certainly all push through to new highs here later on in the year. So Fuller Money Themes, again, generally doing really quite well. The energy sector, aside from the uranium miners, is firm. So big oil still rock solid in here, particularly where there are decent yields available. And I think China's going to spring to life here, and not may not take long for that to actually happen, but I'll issue that as a medium to longer term forecast. And other themes, long dated government bond prices. It'll take time because for the secular bear market to get underway. I've described yields as being in the bottoming out and base building phase. And with a big sector like that, the base is almost always type 3. That's as taught at the chart seminar. That's the big expansive pattern, lots of time, ranging, churning, time and size. But that's where we are. At this stage, and as the global economy improves, that will put more upward pressure, I think, on those long-dated interest rates, particularly as short-term interest rates, or as we get more of a normalization on short-term interest rates. And as I say, they're still accommodative, which is very good for stock markets right now. The big potential delaying factor, if the price of crude oil goes up enough to crimp growth, then that would lead to even more base extension in the long-dated government bond markets. But I'm taking a 30-year view on this. Hope to be around all that time. That would be a challenge. That would be a fine thing. Bases, as I say, they take their time, but we've ended a 28-year bull market in long-dated government bonds. One extreme leads to another in markets. It's the closest thing you get to a natural law of physics in what's basically a social science. Okay. Anything else to mention here? Precious metals, I think we'll squeeze out a little bit more to the upside here. In terms of resources markets, Russia is very firm there. Russia is one of the markets that has moved through to new highs overall. Again, that's also a fuller money theme, although I don't like the attitude towards minority shareholder rights. And take a company like Gazprom, which, if that weren't just a funding operation for the state, the share would be much, much higher. As it is, it doesn't look that bad on the charts, but I think one often gets a better bang for one's buck in some other markets. But there's no doubt Russia is on inexpensive valuations. I think they are responding a bit to the criticism from a number of Westerners, including myself, regarding minority shareholder rights and that this wasn't really being developed along proper capitalist lines, whatever those are. But you get my point on that. And that's pretty much it. An interesting week, but don't be surprised if we get a little froth blown off these stock markets in the very short term. But a bear I am not. I am an overall bull. And on that note, all the best to all of you.